great that you have come along tonight to listen to God's Word. As has been our custom each Lord's Day evening, we've been having various people along to give their testimony and to explain how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And tonight we're really glad to have Colin Tinsley with us. And probably most of you will know Colin or will have heard of one of his Bible clubs. He's not here to do a Bible club tonight, although that would be great. But Colin is here to share his story of how he came to know the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Saviour. And you know, that's why we do this tonight. We are here to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are here to tell forth a message of hope in this hopeless world. And maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're searching for something. Maybe you were here last year and you're in the same condition tonight as you were last year. Well, we really pray and make it our prayer that through what you hear tonight from Colin, that you will come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus. You can be saved before you leave this car park tonight and be sure of a home in heaven. That would thrill our hearts, but it would thrill the Lord's heart even more if you were to come and commit to him. As I have said each night as we have started, neither myself or the speaker tonight, being Colin, are rushing away. And if you want to know a little bit more, if we can help you, if we can counsel you in any way, if there's something you want to chat about, your faith, either Colin or I, we are here to do that. And if you just sit in your car at the end of the meeting, then we'll happily come and have a chat with you. Also, to say this evening that the meeting is being broadcast through your radio, although I don't think too many people will need it this evening. But if you do want to listen to it in your car radio, maybe if it's a little bit clearer, 87.5 FM. 87.5 FM will help you listen to it in your car, and you can tune in to that. Also, just to say that next week, God willing, we will have Nigel Kissick along, and that Nigel's from Tobermore, and he'll be coming along, and he's speaking in our church in the morning, and then Nigel will be here again next Lord's Day evening to bring God's Word. Now, I think that's all that I want to say by way of announcement, and I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, I'm going to invite Colin up to take the remainder of the meeting tonight. Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for another opportunity to come here to have this facility, Father, where we're able to proclaim the good news of the gospel, where we're able to put forth the message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Father, we thank you we're able to preach that whosoever will, that whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And Father, we thank you that whosoever means me, and we thank you that whosoever means everyone who is sitting in their car this evening. Lord, you know the different backgrounds. You know the different people who are in their cars this evening. You know where they are with you. You know those who are cold tonight that are backslidden, those who are afar off and need to be brought back. Lord, we pray that you would do that this evening. Lord, you know those perhaps that sat here last year and they enjoyed the words, but tonight, Father, they're still in the same state. They're still not saved. Lord, you know those, it's their first night here. We really pray that as they hear the gospel, perhaps for the first time or for one of a handful of times, we pray that the Spirit of God would be at work. And Father, we believe that we're living in the last days. We believe, Father, that that time is short. And Father, we really pray tonight that as Colin would testify, that Lord, as he speaks of how you saved him, and how you're using him and how you're leading him in his life, that people would see the reality of salvation. They would see that the gospel really works. And that, Father, tonight they will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we commit this entire time unto you and ask your blessing to be upon it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite Colin to come up now, and then I'll get up after Colin is finished and close the meeting. Thanks, Colin.
Good evening, everyone. I normally say hello, boys and girls. Get on. We're going to start singing, but we're not going to do that tonight. It's lovely to be here. Thanks, Stephen, for his kind words of welcome to give testimony. I normally do Bible clubs. I don't normally speak like this to give testimony, but this is a very special day for me because 32 years ago on this very night was the night I got saved, became a Christian. I was 17 years old. For those of you with a calculator on your phone, you can work out how old I am, but I'm still this side of 50. My mum said to me one afternoon on this day 32 years ago, "Colin, will you drive me to a mission in Lisburn by the evangelist Noel Grant?" All my life I'd been going to church with my six brothers, and I was now 17 years old. That week I was going to pass my driving test, and I knew whenever I was driving, I literally didn't have to go to church. On a good night, I could go to Port Rouse or Bangor or Newcastle. I could literally go everywhere. I'd been to church all my life. I knew about God, but I was a stranger to God and to grace. I was not a Christian. Yet going through school, everyone would think I was a Christian because I looked like one, I behaved like one, I acted like one. I stood up for a Christian, but I was not a child of God. And I was reluctant to go to that mission, but my mum had a driving license but couldn't drive. And I was learning to drive, but I never had a full driving license. So we said yes, none of my brothers would go. Maybe it's because I was driving, I don't know, but I went. And I remember going to that mission in a little hall in Lisburn on Sunday night, and we ended up sitting in the very front of a gospel mission. And the preacher was an old school preacher, Noel Grant. And as he preached up for a long time now, I had been under conviction because I knew I was messing with life. I knew that God was calling me. He was speaking. I realized the words of the Bible when it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And I knew that if I died, if I was killed, whatever reason, because my plan was when I reached 18, I was going to join the police because it was an action life. It was a type of life that would suit me down to the ground. But God, of course, had got different plans. And as a preacher preached that night, suddenly it all came back to me. Everything that I'd been taught as a child from faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful preaching of God's word, I realized I was a 17-year-old youth. I wasn't saved. I was gambling with my life, with my soul. And I was one of those people thought, "I'll just enjoy life. I'll go through life. When I get to the latter part of life, I'll become a Christian. Then I'll be able to go to heaven." And so many people make that mistake, and they gamble with their life, and they don't realize their heart becomes so hard that they end up missing their opportunity. And I was conscious of the words of the Bible when it says, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." And as that preacher preached that night, I felt myself like a baby. I felt myself welling up and realizing how much God really loved me, and that he sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross for me. And I thought, there's so many more special people in the world that deserve to be loved by God and not me. And I responded to the challenge of the gospel that night as a 17-year-old. I was convicted. I was irresistible. I realized God was speaking to me that night. And I realized I more than ever wanted to give my life to God, because I knew God had a plan, a big plan for my life, and it would not start until I surrendered my all to the Lord Jesus. And everyone went home that night, and I spoke to the preacher, and I said to him, "I want to become a Christian," but I said, "There's nothing you need to tell me to do, just show me how I can pray and how I can become a Christian." And there and then, in the little kitchen in the Black Hall in Lisburn, was the night Noel Grant led me to the Lord. And I remember coming out of the little kitchen, and the room was empty of the hall, and my mum was sitting there, a small woman with a red face, and the tears were dripping down her eyes. As for 17 years, my mother was praying that God would save one of her sons. And all of us had come through church, a good evangelical church, and none of us as children trusted in the Lord Jesus. And now one by one her sons were starting to respond, and my mother's prayers were answered. My older brother got saved 2 months before that, and now it was my turn to give my heart and life to the Lord. Then I was a 17-year-old Christian. I remember going home, driving home. I think I got a lecture the whole way home. "I can no longer do this, that or the other." I remember saying to my dad, "I've just got saved." He wondered what camp this, and he said, "That's good." My father's one of those country people. He doesn't speak many words, and when he says that's good, it meant it was very, very good. Whenever God created the world, he would say it was good, or it was very good. He never said it was excellent, but when God said something was good, it was absolute perfection. I could tell by my dad's face, he was a Christian, and he also was happy that one of his son got saved, a life saved. But then I passed my driving test, and I had friends who weren't Christians, and they were asking me to go to places that I knew was wrong to go, but I was praying and gambling with God, said, Lord, if I go to this place, I promise you, I will speak to someone about you. And I remember going, taking my brothers to, it was a nightclub, and one of my brother's friends said, do you want a drink? And I said, no. Then in my mind, I said, this is my opportunity. And he said, why do you not drink? And I said, I'm a Christian. He said to me these words, if you're a Christian, what are you doing here? And those words went through to me like a dagger. And then a couple of weeks after that, I was borrowing my dad's car, passed my test, and we were going to go to a nightclub in Bambridge. And as I was driving, the car broke down. It just stopped going. It was at a Perkins diesel engine. I know nothing about that. But when a car stops going, it won't start. I can only push it so far till you get to the bottom of the hill. Then you can't push it up the hill. A man drove past and stopped, and he said, what's wrong with your car? And I said, it stopped working. And he said, where do you live? And I said, Dundrawn. He said, I'm passing Dundrawn. I'll tow you home. And he towed the car home. That night, we didn't go anywhere. The next week, about 2 weeks, I think, after that, I bought a wee Mini, as most 17-year-old boys done in the 80s and 90s. And I was going up to Bambridge again with a friend, and I knew where I was going was wrong. I was not a Christian, but I was gambling with it. And just as I was going about 60 miles an hour up the carriageway, the bonnet of the Mini just opened and just slapped against the front window. And I had to put my window down almost like Mr. Bean and looking out the window to pull into the hard shoulder. If that was a normal road, I would have went straight over the hedge or hit an oncoming car. But that still wasn't enough. I'm quite stubborn. And a couple of weeks after I borrowed another one of my dad's cars, a Vauxhall Chevette, and we were driving around country roads heading to somewhere else. As a Christian, we shouldn't be going. I knew where I was going was wrong. And as we were flying around the road, it was October now, it was a wet night, there was leaves on the road, I was flying around bends, and suddenly lost control of the car, hit the brakes, and went straight into a stone wall. Rode the car off completely, and I was shaking. And I know I was, because all I could do was cry for my mum. 17-year-old boys don't normally cry for their mum. But I was really scared that night, and I knew God was speaking once, twice, three times. If you continue to dabble with sin, I'm going to finish it. And I prayed, I said, Lord, I surrender to you completely. Take my life and use it. I get the message. I'm now one of your children. And I no longer want, I realized God could not use a dirty vessel for a service. I didn't know what my gifts or talents were. I had no idea. I was full of energy, but I wanted to give everything I had to the Lord. Got involved in church work and youth work. And all of this here, still didn't know what God had me to do. Whatever it was, I just put my hand to the plow and wanted to keep going on for God. At the age of 21, I was now. I remember going to Poland. I was traveling. And there I met a girl, and that's Joanna. And I thought the last thing in my mind was a girl. And I remember walking up to her in a little cafe and said, excuse me, do you speak English? And she says, yes, I do. And I says, can you translate that menu for me? And she says, do you not speak English? I goes, yes, I do speak English. She goes, that's an English menu. I never even looked at the menu. I was just looking for an opportunity to chat this girl up. Because I thought this girl's a potential wife. But she was from Poland. And I realized when I got back home again, I wrote her a letter and I told her I'm a Christian. 4 years ago, I got saved, and I thought, this girl comes from Poland, far away from Northern Ireland. She's probably not a Christian, because there's not many Christians in Poland. And I wrote her a letter giving my testimony, how I got saved. And about a month later, I remember I was working in Marks and Spencer in Sprucefield. And every day I was phoning my mum and said, do you need any bread, any milk, any shopping? And was there any letters for me? Wondering, did this girl write a letter? Of course, there was no emails or text messaging, social media, away back in those days. This day, my dad answered the phone. And he said, there's a letter from you, but I'm going to throw it in the fire. I goes, what do you mean you're going to throw it in the fire? He said, it's got a picture of the Pope on the back of it, on the front of it. I goes, what do you mean? He goes, it's got a picture of the Pope. And I thought, that's a stamp. It's a police letter. Just like we have the Queen, they have the Pope. Then all the questions, who's they? Who's she? And I've got six brothers, and they're all very nosy. I might as well be honest. And I said, Dad, don't touch that letter, please. And I was driving the wee Mini again, and I was driving as fast as I could home, took the letter, and I lay down in my bed, opened the letter, and I began to cry because this girl said, it's nice to know that Jesus means so much to you. All my life, I have been searching for God. And 5 months before I met you, I became a Christian. At university, people were testifying, were witnessing to me. And one night on Easter Saturday, I got saved and became a Christian. And I go to the local Baptist church in Krakow, Poland. And she said, all my life for the last 5 months, I've been praying that God will send into my life a man. And I shouted, praise the Lord, I'm your man. And that was, I love the story in the Bible of Abraham sending his servant to find a wife for Isaac. And whenever he found Rebecca, he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And I could look back 2,000 miles away in Poland, not knowing anyone, just on a trip. And I met a girl who was to become my wife. She came here from Poland with a wedding dress in one hand and a suitcase in the other. And then the Lord began to speak and challenge. I want to read two verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labour which thou takest under the sun. God was saying, I'll give you a life, I'll give you a wife, enjoy your life, do what you have to do. But then verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. And the Lord was beginning to really challenge me. He said, Colin, you've got a wife, you've got a home, you've got a good job. I love farming. I was going to really develop farming. But then the Lord began to wean me away from these things. And one day, the management of Marks and Spencer brought me in, five of them. And I said, Colin, we need to speak to you about your work. And they said, Colin, we realize, we notice you're no longer focused on working in Marks and Spencer. And I said, can I postpone this meeting until Monday morning? And we met on Monday morning, and I handed in my notice. And I said, I'm no longer focused because I'm going to go to Bible college and I'm going to serve God. I was busy maximizing profit and minimizing loss for Marks and Spencer, giving all my energy from early morning to late nights, day after day. And I thought, I want to use all my energy for the rest of my days to serve the Lord. And in so many Bible verses, the Lord was speaking, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I thought, there's so many people, they need salvation, they need the Lord. And I was thankful. I was one of those people that God plucked as a brand from the burning. And I was saved. I've got a twin brother. I love him in the Lord. We talk almost every day. But he's not saved. He's not a Christian. And I thought, why did the Lord have mercy upon me? So I was really challenged. And I thought, after I got saved, I thought, life for me is about Christ. It's about the Lord Jesus. And I just wanted to serve him. I thought, I love knocking doors. I love talking to people. I love just challenging people about life and becoming a Christian and loving God. I had nothing to lose doing this here. But the Lord began to really challenge me about a different type of work. So we went to Bible college. Then we were sent to Jamaica for a year to pastor a church. And then to Australia for 3 years. I thought, they can't really find anywhere further away to send me. But we came back home again. And the Lord really put children's ministry upon our hearts. Joanna and I have not been blessed with children. But we have a big burden for reaching children for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord put this burden upon our hearts. And I thought, where do I go? I go to my local primary school, where I used to live outside Lisburn. And I said, I've been to Bible college, I've been to Jamaica and Australia. I would like to do an assembly. And I done an assembly, and then I went to another school until I went all round Lisburn. And I started to do assembly after assembly. And some of the teachers said, Colin, can you come after school and do a longer assembly? And we'll call it a Bible club. Then some of the schools said, Colin, this is really good, but so little children come to the after school club. And an assembly, you only get a little opportunity. Why not have it during lunchtime? And children can come if they want to. So we had it during lunchtime, and children are busy eating sandwiches or eating their lunch, and I'm as hungry as anything watching them. Then some of the principals said, Colin, all of the children are coming to this. Why not do it during school time? And the Lord was opening door after door after door, and we were as bold as a lion, because we were loving the opportunities to teach the children. And then before long, our dairy was filling up with Bible club after Bible club. And this was a mission in school, public schools throughout Northern Ireland. And eventually we were doing 100, 120, 140 of these a year. For example, if we went to Belfast, we would be doing four schools a day for a whole week. Then we'd go down to Skillam the next week. Four schools around Fermanagh, then go to Coleraine, four schools around Coleraine. Then from after Easter, we would do one at night time in an Orange Hall or a church or somewhere. So from Easter to July, we would be doing five Bible clubs a day, a week. And last year, 2 years ago, we celebrated doing 1,000 Bible clubs, reaching children with the gospel. And we were delighted. We were really, really loving this work. That was until March last year. And then we thought on Friday, the teacher said, Colin, we're now going to close. COVID's around the world. It's coming into the country and there's no longer going to be school. But on Sunday morning, 2 days later, we put up a live Sunday school. But everybody was live that week and we didn't have a good connection. But we felt burdened to do this. People say, you just can't talk on a phone. You just can't do a recording. You need to have experience. But I was as bold as a lion. I did not need to look at people. I just saw the potential of reaching children with the gospel. And we started doing an online Sunday school. Then we started doing assembly. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday night club and a Saturday night teens club. And for over a year now, we've been doing 8 of these every week. And to God be the glory. I've got 2 things in life. One is my wife, and the other is my voice. And if I lose either one, I'm finished. So for Christians, please pray for my wife, Joanna. I'm her favourite singer, because she listens to me singing in the living room every day now. And I'm also, I need my voice to keep strong for the Lord. When I was a boy, I was in a boys' brigade, and we used to go camping every summer. And I remember as a little boy lying in those tents, I just loved it. And I said, Lord, when I grow up, God, I want to do camps for children. And this week we're putting up camps in Tullymore for the 16th year. And there's going to be 8 camps all of July. And there's going to be almost 1,000 children and young people coming to Tullymore over the month of July. It's just wonderful how God has opened up the opportunities. Tomorrow morning when you switch on your radio, you're going to hear bad news, depressing news, discouraging news, and that comes from the world. But I would encourage you to turn your radio back off again and open your Bible and talk to God, and God will say, with me, with God, nothing is impossible. And it's so easy to get caught up with the world affairs, everything that's going on, but focus on the Lord. And the motto we have for serving God, it's for the children as unto the Lord. Last week, 2 weeks ago, it was the first Bible club we had in a way over a year in Saintfield. And I was in the element with many other believers and children of Saintfield in the Orange Hall, just reaching the children, a hall, and children were just singing their hearts out and wanting to know more about God, wanting more and more about God. And I thought that's so, so important. Children cry out, give me more. Tell me more about Jesus. But the reality is, and sadly, when those children grow up to be teenagers, their wee hearts start to stiffen and start to harden. And then whenever they become adults, they get even harder. And then they become angry whenever you go to teach them about God. And my experience, as much as anyone, whenever you teach your children, they're like little sponges, and they will believe anything and everything you tell them about the Lord Jesus. So tonight is another opportunity for you to hear the shining gospel. My favorite Bible verse, often asked by children, it's Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Stephen prayed over that verse. That word, whosoever, for me, it's got the greatest possible scope anywhere in the world, any age, and especially children. Whoever they are, when they call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Whenever I think of whosoever shall call, that's the simplest possible cry. We often talk to children about phones and addiction, and the first thing people do when something goes wrong is they'll get on their phone and they'll cry for help. They'll call for help. And God says in Jeremiah 33, call unto me, and I will answer you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's the greatest possible name. Whenever I think of the name of the Lord Jesus, he's my Savior, he's my God, he's my best friend, he's sticketh closer to me than any brother. I've got 6 brothers, we're all good mates, we slag a life out of each other, but none of us are as close, none of them are as close to me as what God is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the greatest possible outcome. And I often think, if I was never born again, it would be better if I was never born at all. Because if you're born and go through this life and reject the Lord Jesus, your life has been wasted. And the Bible teaches so clearly, those without Christ are damned in eternity in hell forever. So the Lord Jesus said these words, not my words, ye must be born again. And we children would ask, how can you be born again? We're born once into our mummy's family, but then you must be born again into God's family. It's simple, yet the disciples or the people, the religious leaders, they made it so complicated, children, they said, can't understand it. And the Lord Jesus said to the followers, to the religious leaders, he said to them, you've got to become like little children. That's when he set the children upon his knee. And he just blessed them and prayed for them. And the children loved the presence of God, loved the presence of the Lord Jesus. And men and women today, it's no different. I say, give the children a chance. Give them a hope. Give them the gospel. Because the Word of God says, if you've got the Son of God, Jesus, you've got life. But if you don't have the Son of God, if you don't have the Lord Jesus, you don't have life. I often wondered why God would take me to Poland to meet a Polish girl. And people used to joke me, they would say, because a Northern Ireland girl wouldn't have you. I said, well, that's not true. There's plenty would have me. But I'm joking about that, by the way. Whenever I think now, for many years, we never went back to Poland. And suddenly a friend of ours said, do you want to go to Poland? We're going on a mission trip. But Joanna couldn't go. She was painting at an exhibition. But I went. And whenever I went, I saw these people who needed the Lord Jesus. And there was translators and interpreters and people to do crafts and games. And the man called Henrik, the leader of the camp, he said, is there anyone here who can teach the Bible to children? And nobody put their hand up. They said, we can play games, we can do crafts. And I said, I can do it, because I have such a burden to do it. And he says, will you please come back to Poland with your Bible and teach the Polish children the Word of God? And that's probably our greatest pleasure, to do that with Joanna, is to go to Poland and teach the children the wonderful words of God. I can speak and Joanna can translate, and the wee children can respond to the message of the gospel. Quite often we sat there and we've wept over Polish children, many of them orphans without parents. And when I realized that there's a heavenly Father who loved them so much, he sent his Son to die for them. Those wee children respond to that. They never have a mother to hug them, or a father to love them or to care for them. They're just placed in institutions from place to place. When they reach 18 years of age, they're out in the world. Yet when they hear about a God who loved them, prepared to save them and to be with them, to promise never to leave them, those wee children embrace the Lord Jesus. One time we went on a trip to Poland in the winter time, and it was a big frozen lake, and Joanna was walking around with these little girls, and one of them was asking so many questions about God. And after 1 week, at the last night, this wee girl called Veronica. She just melted. She said, "I just want this Jesus." And Joanna sat down and led that little girl to the Lord. Now this girl's 21 years old. And if you look at her Facebook, the only thing you'll see is Bible verses all over it in Polish. The very first camp that we done by ourselves with a team, there's only 7 people on it. A wee girl responded to the gospel. And the other day she got engaged to a Christian man. They're so hard to find in Poland. Yet she was so faithful. She waited till God brought a man into her life. You'll not find gossip. You'll not find nonsense on her Facebook. It's just verses of the Bible glorifying and lifting up the name of Jesus. People say, "Why do you go to Poland?" That's why we go. Because the souls of the children are precious. We've been to many trips, taking teams of young people to encourage them, to challenge them to give their lives and to serve God. We've only one life. Only one life. It's only what's done for the Lord Jesus will last. I absolutely love my life. Every morning I wake up, I say, "Thank you, God, for another day to serve you." And Lord, if we can't get into the schools, if we can't do camps, we'll use technology and we'll keep reaching the children for the gospel. We have our own ministry called Hope for Youth Ministries. We started off in 2007. We never get a salary. We've never got a salary. We don't need one. God provides, using His people, blessing His people to encourage us, to keep us on the road. And it's so wonderful. He's given us many contacts, many friends, just to serve Him, to want to be encouraged. And little children, it's so special whenever you just preach the Bible in an orange hall, a church hall, in a tent, in a garden, and a wee child responds and comes up and says, "Can I become a Christian?" This week I got a message from a teacher, and the teacher, the wee child, the parents, they're not Christians, but the wee child said, the child in my class today has become a Christian, and the parents aren't Christians. And the wee girl said, "Now I'm going to go home and tell my parents about Jesus." And another time, a teacher told me that there's a child, it has to be removed from the class whenever the assembly starts because the parents don't want them to be influenced by religion or Christianity. And the parent teacher said, "It's now time for you to go in the other room. We're going to watch Colin now, they call it." And the wee child said, "What are you going to watch?" And he said, it's called Farming, whatever it was. And the wee boy said, "Miss, I watched that." Scared the life out of me. "I watched that on Friday night." But the wee child said to the teacher, "Please don't tell my parents." She said, "What do you mean? How did you watch it?" She said, "Colin picked that up on Friday night Bible club. Whenever I go to bed, I'm allowed to watch the iPad and YouTube for 15 minutes. Colin's his Bible stories are normally less than 15 minutes. I can watch a Bible story before my mum comes in to check me. So please don't tell my parents." This is a real world out here. There's children, parents despising the gospel, neglecting their children from hearing the word of God. It's not playing church. It's not a Sunday school picnic. It's a real world. Children are growing up not hearing about the Lord Jesus. Over a year has passed now without going into the schools. If we miss a generation for Christ, we're doomed. We must take every opportunity to rise up and stand up and be counted as believers to reach the Lord Jesus. And men and women, children, young people, if you're here tonight in this open air, it's another opportunity for you to hear the gospel. Don't drive out those gates without getting right with God. It's a wonderful life. He can do something for you that no one else in this world can do. I record, because Northern Ireland's 100 years old, we're putting up assemblies every day, focusing in Northern Ireland, taking it to the gospel. I was in Ballymena, and the introduction was talking about Liam Neeson. A child doesn't know who that is. He's a famous actor. He's worth $145 million. But I was saying to the children, Liam Neeson is famous all over the world for being a professional actor. But he's an actor. Christianity is not about acting. It's the real thing. You can't act to become a Christian. People can act, they can look, they can dress the part, they can look the part, they can sing the part. But God looks down in your life and he says, give me your heart. Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I ask you tonight, as God looks upon your heart, I don't know, you can't see anyone from up here, just a few people. I wonder, when God looks into your heart, can he see something which is red and it's the precious blood of his son, the Lord Jesus, has it washed away your sin? Has your name been recorded in what's called the Lamb's Book of Life, the enrollment book of heaven? That's my testimony in a nutshell. I was born on the 8th of May, 72. Born again on the 25th of June, 1989. A beautiful Sunday evening, just like this. And I realized that night God had a plan for my life. Then it wasn't until I fully surrendered. And God says, now I'll take you, now I'll use you to reach the children for my name. I wouldn't change it for anything in the whole world. I absolutely love it. And if you're here tonight, I would encourage you, don't waste another moment, but give your heart and make your life count for the lovely Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.
Well, we want to thank Colin very much for coming along tonight and sharing how God saved him. And he probably just about covered all of us. There was certainly a challenge for everyone. But I want to close just this evening. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want to close with just a little verse or a little passage that Colin just referenced. And you're saying to me, how can I become a Christian? Well, I was thinking about Colin's primary audience, and he invests his life reaching boys and girls. The Lord Jesus loved boys and girls. Not only did he want to save them, but he used them as an object lesson to teach older people. We can learn a lot from children. They say children learn a lot from us, but we can learn a lot from them. And in Matthew 18 and verse number 1, the Lord's disciples were squabbling. And it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. All these people were wondering, how could they become a Christian? And the religious leaders thought it was about a religion and doing good works and seeing how much they could please God. The disciples, they were wondering as they looked at the religious leaders, and then as they looked at themselves and where they were, they wanted to know who was the greatest. And the Lord Jesus cut through them all. And he said, if you want to be one of my followers, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be sure of a home in heaven, you've got to become like a little child. What is a little child? Well, first of all, a little child is small. A little child is innocent. Not so much innocent in their sin, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every child that's born is a sinner. But a child is humble. They don't try to make themselves something they're not. They come as they are, and you take them as you find them, and they don't care so much about how they look. They don't care about trying to be something they're not, as Colin has just said. They come small, and they come humbly. And Jesus said, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be saved, I want you to come to me as you are. I don't want you to come behind the veil of your religion, of being a Catholic or a Protestant. I don't want you to come as a good living person. I don't want you to come as something you're not. I want you to come as a little child, and I want you to come to me small. I want you to come to me humbly. I want you to come to me with all your baggage, and I want you just to come as you are. Maybe that's what's holding you back. You're trying to impress the Lord. The Lord wants you just to humble yourself like a little child and come to Him. Not only is a little child small, but you know, a little child has nothing to offer in terms of they don't have any money. Well, don't know now, some children have plenty of money, but you know what I mean? They don't have a job, they don't have a status, they don't have a standing in employment. And so they can't come to God and offer God payment. They can't come to God and boast in the role they have in church. These little children have nothing. They just come. And you know, countless people are trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to get there by their good works. And yet the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And you know, when a little child came to Jesus, they came small. They came without anything to offer. And you know, the third thing, they just simply took the Lord at His word. You know, children have an incredible way. We watch it, you know, when we tell Jonah to do something or Sophia, they may do it, they may not, but when a coach, a sports coach or somebody tells them to do something, they generally do it. And you know, here's these little children and they come to Jesus and Jesus gives them the word. And you know what the children do? The children don't debate it. The children don't try and work it out. The children don't try and disprove it. The children simply believe it. They just believe it. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We're not asking you to do anything supernatural or complicated. God is not asking you to do. He has made it so simple. And Jesus said, the problem is so often adults miss it because they try to complicate it. Oh, if you're going to be saved, you've got to come to the Lord small and humbly. You've got to come as a little child, with nothing to offer, no good works, come as you are. But you've got to take the Lord at His word. And when He says, if you believe in Me, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, oh, it says the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, if you just believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that Jesus was punished for your sins, that without Jesus, without trusting Him as your Savior, then you can never get to heaven. Believe that He is the only way, the truth and the life. If you just as a little child take Jesus at His word and ask Him to save you, then He'll do just that. And you know, little children, they rest in the word that they hear. And they believe that the moment they give their life to Jesus, that they're saved for time and they're saved for eternity. Let me read this again. And He said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, maybe you think often about your childhood. God wants you to come to Him as a little child tonight. Just come in simple childlike faith. Repent of your sins. And ask the Lord to save you. And He'll do just that. You can be saved where you sit. Before you leave this car park, you could have drove in as a sinner. And drive out knowing that you're on your way to heaven and to home. Father, we want to thank You for this beautiful night that You've given us. Lord, we want to thank You for Colin. We thank You for the day that You saved him. Thank You for the day in simple childlike faith that he bowed his knee and gave his life to You. And we thank You that ever since that day that You've used him for the glory of Your name. Father, Your word is so simple. The gospel is so simple that even a little child can understand it. And even the Lord Jesus said that except we become like little children, Lord, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh Lord, I pray for one or more tonight that's trying to complicate it. Lord, they're hiding behind their status. They're hiding behind who they are or what they are. Lord, they're maybe trying to complicate it, trying to work it out. I pray that all of these distractions that are given by the devil would be stripped away and they would come as little children tonight. And they would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who loved them and gave himself for them. Father, write new names in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. Bless this meeting. And may more saints leave this car park than enter as folk come to know the Lord. Father, we give thanks for this meeting tonight and pray as we go from this place that you'll bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.